Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Great things and Ben is here. Okay. I'm sorry, I got the wrong thing in there. But Ben Reichle is with us, and we're so glad to say we have a guest with us. I'll introduce him in one moment. But Ben is here. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good to be here. Is it December 8th or are we in November?
It is mid-January temperature-wise.
There's no frost on the pumpkin. It's snow.
No, yeah, we had chilly weather overnight. And you're going up to Jersey Shore tonight. You will be at the frozen tundra of Jersey Shore, PA.
It will be. Thompson Street Stadium, Seals Grove Seals, and the Jersey Shore Bulldogs will be fighting for a District 4 title. But the buzz in the area is the Seals Grove Seals ladies field hockey team going down to Hershey tomorrow to play in the quarterfinals of field hockey. So okay. We're winding down in the fall sports, but there's still some titles to be won, hopefully by some of the schools that are still competing. And the Green Bay Packers over in the Southern Columbia Tigers are on their way to, I think Vince Lombardi might be an assistant coach over there, but you got Southern Columbia in our area that will probably be watching in Hershey in the football finals and the championship games coming up. But still some sports, and I know you're excited about wrestling's getting ready to start, basketball's getting ready to start. Winter sports are going to be on the agenda.
You monitor any and all of these sports, Jordy?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little like the love isn't there for Union County. Our boys' soccer team is going to Hershey. I'm not sure what round of the state
they're going down. Yeah, they're going down.
And the cross-country team, I think both the boys and the girls did very well, and I think the field hockey team did well. What's tonight in Jersey Shore? You said that's the women's field hockey?
That's District 4.
Oh, come on.
District 4 football.
Jordy is joshing you. Come on. He's poking a little fun.
I was going to say, the teams that lost, they competed, but there's still some teams in it.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
Like I said, we'll be watching Southern Columbia on their journey to Hershey, which I think they've done the last 28 years.
Well, good luck to all these teams, and there is just superlative athletes out there and academic athletes in both of these towns we've talked about and some other ones
around here. We got the Seals Grove boys soccer team going on, if Lewisburg is in it. But, yeah, the teams that are still playing has had they've had successful years. And remember, they started in August, and they're still playing in November.
And you'll be able to hear the football game tonight on Eagle 107 and eagle107.com if you want to hear the Seals Grove Seals versus the Jersey Shore Bulldogs. They start at 6 p.m. on our sister station, so check out that game. Listen to the post-game show afterward to make sure you know what's going on with all of the football games in the broad region. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Of course, Ben is here. Ben Reichle, local businessman. He is an American first. He's a Republican committee person, monitors politics locally and nationally. So we're going to start out talking about some local politics. And Jordy Comas joins us. I call him a Democratic activist, but he's involved in all kinds of campaigns. Is that not the right name?
I mean, that's sort of, to me, the Democratic, any party is a tool. It's not really, when I go shopping for lettuce. The card is just a tool. So, I think of myself more as a community activist and organizer.
All right. And you have been in helping politics, pushing for candidates since how long?
You mean this time?
No. I mean, two, 3 decades ago.
In this area, I got started in 2004. Yeah. And in fact, both Stacy and Trey Richards, Trey Kasmer and Stacy Richards and I in 2004, we were all part of the key leadership team for the Kerry campaign. So I suspect in any community, you know, I don't know Ben's biography, but, you know, waves of interest in activism tend to create links between people, and then those get activated later. So that 2004 campaign, you know, got a lot of people energized. John Showers ran for county commissioner after that. He was also part of that core leadership group.
And you were supportive of John Showers. I remember back mm-hmm. then he had a lot of good active Democrats that really got involved for him, and you were on that group.
Yeah, I was, although I didn't join the committee until 2007. So that's, that. You know, I tend to see myself as somebody who's rooted in issue and community politics, and then I'll link to the Democratic Party establishment as necessary.
And Ben, your first presidential campaign, was it
1972, George McGovern.
There we go. And since then, you've been paying attention to politics.
Well, I've had some family members involved. My mother was a press secretary out in California for the Duke Majin administration. You see things that grow. You know, once you get in business, you understand the effects. And like I said, you get started. I think Jordy's saying if you get started early, you get to meet some folks. But I was lucky enough to go down in the 80s to Washington and lobby and sit in Bud Schuster's office. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a whole different atmosphere now in a lot of ways. But one is, you never saw a security guard, maybe, let alone have to go through security. You'd walk in, you could walk into the Longworth building at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. You could be over in the Hart Senate building, you know, at 9:30 in the evening.
Homeland.
Yeah, and you'd see the senators walking up and down the aisles. You'd see the media people walking in and out. But no, times have changed, as Bob Dylan said, but times are probably supposed to change.
Now, did you monitor in Snyder County, the race between Mary Bannon and Adam Ewing? Mm-hmm. You monitored that?
Yeah, any Democratic
surprises?
Side.
Any surprise there? 300 vote difference or so?
About 300 vote difference. I think Eastern Snyder County. Yeah, it's funny. If you look at Union Snyder County, used to be one county. But you look at the eastern part of both counties are far more similar than the western. The western Snyder County and western Union County have more similarities in a lot of ways than they're the east sides. But you look at where the votes come from and which precincts come in, and Adam did a fine job getting his geographical area in western Snyder County out. But you know, you look at the differences on the Republican side. Kant and Steininger were in the 4,500 roughly votes, plus or minus a couple hundred there. And the Democrats, I think Ewing won with less than 2,000 votes.
That tracks pretty closely, I think, with the registration numbers in Snyder County.
Yeah, it is the registration, but it shows you where, actually, if you're a Democrat in Union or Snyder County, you better get your folks turning out, because you only have so many folks to turn out.
No,
especially in we got primaries, and you got mm-hmm. multiple, like in a commissioner's race,
right.
You're electing one out of two.
Can we just tack back? I just at the beginning wanted
Please.
To say, and you know, I'm hesitant to ever put words in somebody's mouth, but I suspect Ben is similar, that you know, I just want to thank everyone who ran for any level of office, everybody who worked the polls. I think a lot of times, you know, the news tends to drift towards where the conflicts are, and that's understandable. But there's just a lot of good old-fashioned American democracy out there. You know, I was at the 4th Ward with both candidates in Lewisburg were out convincing voters to vote for them, but there was as much, you know,
yeah, if you take the time to go get your petition signed, you've gone through the process and you put your name out there, no matter who you are, unless your last name is Lucifer or your name is Lucifer, you're probably, you know, there's a lot more positives. And it is a democracy. And when you go out to the polls and you see the people working the polls and you see the those folks that are working the polls from start to finish.
Yeah.
You know, they might have some people come in, but and I think our poll workers are most of them are pretty seasoned.
Yeah, that's true.
And was that a surprise in Snyder County, the Bannon-Ewing outcome, that you know, he was 300 votes ahead or so by the time it was all over? Any surprises there?
I don't know. Surprise, because it's two first-time candidates.
Well, and you said he's from the western end, though?
Yeah, he's the mayor Beavertown.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that Beaver Springs, one of the Beavers, he's out there. And I know it's not Beaver Falls. But, it's two first-time candidates were running. I believe Mary Bannon had her coalition was probably more in the eastern part of Snyder County, and looked like Adam Ewing got his folks in the western end to turn out. So, when you say about a surprise, Mark, it's hard. You know, what is a surprise with first two candidates on a local county election now?
And such small numbers. You know, people ask me, what does this mean? What does that mean? And I'm like, you know, we don't have polling on this. It's hard to say. Your best guess is, as you're doing, your read of the area. I agree with Ben that the western ends of the county, closer to the mountains, are more similar to each other. I can imagine sometimes, because of county lines and the river, we tend to think of these counties as separate, but there's real reasons for what I call the river towns. You know, Milton, Selinsgrove, Grove, Lewisburg, Sunbury, Northumberland, for political reasons, we need to often to join together, and we don't have clear mechanisms for that, right? You have to cross three counties there and all kinds of other municipal lines. So, if you were ever going to redraw, I'm thinking about gerrymandering things, but, you know, people tend to worry about breaking county lines, and in general, that's a good rule of thumb. But if you were to draw either a state legislative or a congressional district, you know, I would favor putting those towns together, even if it meant crossing county lines, because what do you think, Ben? I mean, I think in terms of where people are focused, media markets, economic ties, those are more similar to each other than the more mountainous western ends.
Well, you have to get the population base. Is it state legislative? Is it state senator? Is it then U.S., you know, when you're talking about a congressional seat in the House of Representatives, you got to put the numbers in. One time, George Gekas represented Williamsport to Harrisburg. He represented the River District. He could show up late very well. I think he played the piano very well also.
Early sometimes.
I don't know. I don't ever remember showing up early. But when you see how things are going to be drawn, and also, too, though, you have to look at, and Pennsylvania's going through it, too, is the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania is just, it's a right now, you know, who knows what area they're going to cover geographically, because it's still up to the courts. However, the Constitution of Pennsylvania says the legislators have to draw the line. So, you know, we're seeing that. But we're seeing that happen all over the country now. And very interesting that which groups protest the so-called gerrymandering term, which groups and which states are protesting that. But as far as what you see, and you would hope, geographically, you would have more similarities for districts, be it state or federal, than you would the ones that run 30 miles one way.
Well, what about the 85th district?
Yeah, with a 2 mile.
What do we have in common
between?
What about the or not the 85th, but the 12th U.S. congressional district? What do we have in common with parts of the Northeast PA and Lake Wallenpaupack, Jordy?
Well, I think. You know, Ben's right that population is always a consideration. And speaking for myself, when I talk about ideal districts, I try as much as possible to think about things that are not partisan in nature. So when I was talking about river towns, I was thinking about what those areas have in common, not who would advantage one way or the other. And in general, the people who I know who fight the hardest against gerrymandering, it's never a partisan issue. It has partisan outcomes because parties gerrymander. So any solution, whether it's fixing a Democratic gerrymander or a gerrymander that favors Democrats or Republicans, the solution is going to look partisan probably because it's going to change that power lock. In Maryland and Illinois, Democrats have gerrymandered. So, I wear a lot of hats. We all do. And I just, you know, hope people understand, given my history with the Pennsylvania case, that I come at this from a good governance, good democracy case. In terms of the 12th, you're always going to have big districts, you know, if you have rural areas. There's no way around that. And I know when the lines were shifted, people kind of were sort of upset. And there's no district that's going to have Union Snyder, Northumberland, Tioga, you know, its population. So we don't have as many people in these areas. We're always going to have a big district. I don't know that there's any way around that. Fun fact, I think that the federal Congress has been set at 435 since about 1917, and the population of each district is either gone up four or five times. So I think that's something, you know, no one likes the idea of more politicians, but, you know, over 100 years, we're asking the same person to represent more and more and more people. So, you know, if we want more representation, there's something to be said for maybe we need to expand this. You know, the country is much bigger in terms of people.
Oh, dear.
And if this is the House of the People, there should be more representatives. Well, I don't know if it's office space. Maybe they can't figure out where to put them in
Washington.
Hold
on 1 second, Ben. We'll let you respond in a second. We have to take a quick break, and we're going to open up the phone lines. We're kind of doing a post-general election post-mortem, and we talked a little bit about Adam Ewig. Ben, one of our friends, calls us a bad name and says he's the mayor of McClure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, well, I didn't remember that. So,
he's out there between the Beavers.
Right. Yeah, there
Beaver
you go.
Town, Beaver Springs. You know,
good place
to be.
Set up to a very off-color joke.
Yeah. Right, no argument there. All right. So,
Beaver Stadium's north of there. Too.
Trouble awaits. So we move on. We'll take a quick break, but we'll open up the phone lines if you'd like to participate in our political discussion. We're talking about local elections at the moment. I'm going to have to mention Michael Bloomberg while we have our good panel here, and I'll have to mention Kentucky and Mississippi before anybody goes. And but we invite you to call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We're doing a post-election discussion. We invite you to join us, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We got podcaster, community organizer, Jordy Comas, and just a super active guy in the community, helping out candidates at times and interviewing candidates. You'll interview any candidate who says
pretty
yes
much
to your podcast.
Yeah.
We heard the Stacey Richards interview. Did you do Trey at some point in
I asked him if he wanted to, and I think we're going to do a post-election one.
Okay. Ryan, you've invited me on the podcast, too. I got to say yes to that sometime.
I think it'd be fun. You know, we can talk more about, I mean, I would love to talk about broadcasting and, you know, some of your biography. I know you're from the area, so you know where a lot of the good swing holes are and the bodies are buried, I'm sure.
I know a couple secrets, but I'm not giving anything up. Now, Union County analysis and then Ben's response.
I think Union County, a couple of races stand out. One, obviously the county commissioner race. I think in both Snyder County, I don't know the history. Have you had two Democratic candidates running in the past? So for Union County, that was relatively new. And, you know, like I said, I wear a lot of hats here, so I'm a member of the Democratic Committee in Union County. You know, that's an interesting dynamic. I myself am also on borough council, so I've run elections. I've worked in campaigns. That's okay. Mark's hitting his head. Somebody told me I'm the busiest unemployed person they know. You know, it changes your perspective when you've been in different roles in this. A party wants all of its candidates to do well, but then each candidate, of course, wants to maximize their, you know, you want somebody who wants to win. So that always produces interesting dynamics. But Stacey Richards won one of the three seats. Preston Boop was second, and Jeff Reber was first. I suspect Preston might be a little bit surprised, given that this is his fifth term, that he wasn't the top vote getter. So he may be a little bit sour about that. I don't know.
Jeff Reber's wildly popular.
Yeah.
But remember, too, if you've been there,
that's true.
For that many terms, you have a track record. The other folks don't have a track record.
Right. But I tend to think about, you know, when I look at the results, okay, so some people went in, some Republicans, and they voted for Jeff, and either they threw away, quote unquote, threw away, they didn't use their other vote, or they voted for Stacey or Trey. You know, I just think about if you see a couple hundred vote difference, that means there are a couple hundred people thinking seen that
way. Well, if you want your person to win. If you want your person to win, you go and vote for them. You don't vote for anyone else.
Right.
I mean, if you can get folks to do that for you,
right.
But
in general, Jeff and Preston had nothing to worry about.
No, they shouldn't have. And the same thing in Snyder County.
That applies to school boards, too. If you want one candidate to win, don't vote for any other ones.
Yeah. Well, I would say it's more complicated. And actually, on my website, jordycomas.org, I have a couple of examples. This is also called bullet voting or strategic voting. And some people were kind of mad that I was talking about it. And I never advocated for one candidate or the other, but I said it's a little bit like birth control. Controlling teenagers, at least me personally, they're going to do it. They might as well know what they're doing. So, you know, some people think bullet voting is bad for the party because you should always vote, support all your candidates. And just exactly as Ben said, if somebody favors one candidate, but whether or not it's effective depends on the overall context of the race, how many registered voters there are, how many votes you have. I will say for me, in an ongoing education way, you know, this election, I finally really understood how the county commissioner races work, and the law says that there's each voter gets two votes, and of course there are three offices in most counties around here, and that's the only thing that's like that. It's kind of to me, it's not a great message to send to the voters because it says two of these representatives, you know, generally we have one vote per office, so it kind of implies one of these commissioners isn't quote unquote yours, and so I'm not really sure how I feel about that at a good governance level. But anyway, back to Union County. Stacy won by several hundred votes. East Buffalo Township, I think, is a really interesting race. There are three supervisors there. Full disclosure, you know, I'm on the borough council, so we have a very complicated relationship with our municipal neighbor. Jim Knight, there are lots of Jims in this story. Jim Knight was been on the Planning Commission for about 10 years, and he ran against Jim Murphy. Jim Murphy is the incumbent, an unelected incumbent, because he was appointed after David Rowe, who was appointed after Mike Daniloff retired. So Jim Knight won handily, 57-43%. That's a race that, you know, there was very high turnout. Jim Knight won in every precinct in East Buffalo. And I think, you know, for me, I think it's probably two possible reasons stand out. Jim Knight's been in the area for a long time, and we were talking about Ewing in, you know, in Snyder County. I think that always matters in local elections.
In McClure, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just staying away. I just did Snyder County. and also the whole question about what does local governance mean? You know, Jim Murphy and then before him Char Gray have run a lot on this idea that their role is to first and foremost always keep taxes low and keep spending in control. I think the voters of East Buffalo have some questions about that. East Buffalo is sitting on a huge cash reserve. You know, taxes have been flat, but people locally understand there's a relationship between taxes and the quality of services. So, you know, Jim Knight will make what he wants of his win, but given that the local Republicans had been pretty dominant in that area, I think it's kind of a repudiation of that style. His own slate ticket said, you know, vote for me, fiscal responsibility, lower taxes. Jim Knight had said he wants to lower property taxes. So, you know, running on that when your opponent is interested in lowering taxes doesn't speak well to your accuracy.
Observations on all of this, Ben, we covered quite a bit of territory.
Well, you see, when it gets on the local side, the R's and the D's and the independents, you can sort of, they get muted a lot more than on the state and the national levels. However, there's still something said. New York, Northumberland County's got to swap a commissioner. So, you know, we'll see what happens over there. Looks like Klebon will be in there, but looks like Sam Shikitano will be the ringmaster of that three-ring circus. So we'll certainly see what happens there. Some positives. I don't think anything earth-shattering is going to happen in Union and Snyder County with the changes, but there is two new commissioners in both counties. So we'll see. One thing also, too, look at where your state officials are coming from and where their home bases are. Look, you know, it's great for our area, Snyder and Union County, to have Fred Keller as a congressman. There are people who argue, well, he's a Republican, he's in the minority. You know, however, you can still get some things done on a federal level. But remember, you got Gordner, you got Roe, you got Linda Schlegel-Culver, you got Kurt Mosser, you got Garth Everett. So there's some seniority, except for David Roe going in our area. And, of course, with John Gordner and Gene Yaw, there's some seniority going to Harrisburg. However, on any level, Washington or Harrisburg, in their courthouses here, it's time for the politicians to start to get some damn things done. it start for them to improve the quality of their constituents' life. Because, you know, we're looking at Harrisburg as a whole. I mean, the Republicans need to get off their keisters down there and start doing something. Now, we're going to have 8 years of Governor Wolf, which is going to be a sleepwalk in the governor's office. The leadership just isn't there. You can argue back and forth. He has to go back and forth. But anyway, he's a pretty low-keyed leader at best, if you want to even use that word. In what we're seeing, though, in Washington is, you know, these folks have to get off their political horses and maybe step in a little of it and get humbled, because it's time to do things to
drain
improve.
The swamp.
Well, you know, the deep state we see now is being opened up, and we see what the bureaucracy does. You know, people want to talk about term limits. The bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy. It's
what do you mean we're seeing it opened up and what it can...
Well, we're seeing what's happening with the FBI. We're seeing what happens with the CIA, with the last groups. We're seeing the deep state starting to be exposed. And we're seeing the bureaucracy...
This is a term that's come into salience in the last couple of years, and I honestly don't know what it means. There have been...
The deep state is the bureaucracy forever.
There's been a thick layer of bureaucracy ever since the end of World War II, especially in security. So this is not a new thing.
No, it's a new thing in the way the deep state works.
I don't think it is.
Yes, it is. Okay. Exactly, it
well,
is.
Anyway, go ahead.
And here's the point is that.
And here's, no, I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying that.
But
that
here's the point that we're saying, though, Mark, when you're talking about this, is when we're seeing bureaucracy, people want to talk about term limits. Term limits aren't the answer, because term limits will allow the bureaucracy to really flourish. And that's going to be sad for what we're going to see, because then the politicians are going to be somewhat hamstrung by what they can do.
We're going to take a quick break. We got two men here, highly informed on the local body politic, and we'll keep that discussion going. We'll include you on there. We'll have to mention President Trump at some point. We'll re-mention Congressman Keller. We'll get your view on his evolution. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury. Welcome back to the WDKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Sander glues all the parts together, so we're super duper appreciative of that. He is our producer. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Mr. Ben Reichley is my co-host today. He's on board, local Republican committee person. L.B. Water is one of the hundreds of owners that are involved in that particular
236
business, and super guy, Republican committee person. Any other active office holding or sort of accolades on your resume that I should mention?
Factual or non-factual?
Yeah, made up. Made up's fine. You could, if you want to be a politician, you should make stuff up.
I lead the round table Saturdays at 5 o'clock at Bott's Tavern, where we run from A to Z the issues that make the world turn.
As opposed to the other roundtable that starts at 9 in the morning up in Lewisburg at the Town Tavern. Do you ever attend that?
Glazer. I do sometimes, yeah.
That's Glazer's, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that you have a similar one?
Yes, but we're there for...
No bacon.
We're there for medical reasons.
All beer, no bacon. Okay. So that is Mr. Ben Reichley, so we're glad he came on by on board. The founder of JordyComos.org is here. He's on Lewisburg Borough Council. He's a husband of Virginia Zimmerman, who's just a stupendous author and professor and just a super director of the play that's tonight, right?
Yes, so it starts tonight. Of Green Gables.
Right, so that is a fabulous show.
I listened to about half of your interview. And it
what?
Was a lot of fun.
That was a good interview. It was only 15 minutes. You can do it, Jordy.
Yeah.
We'll kill you. Let's see.
Well,
what else?
I had a hard time finding it.
Oh, community organizer. I'll send you the link. Community organizer, podcaster. You and Taylor Lightman, and I've heard, Sam Pearson.
Yeah. It's barnstormingpa.org, and you can find that on all of your podcasting apps. Taylor and I are the producers. Sam is a regular co-host. Dwayne Heiser comes in sometimes, but it's a lot of fun. It's a passion project. Recently we interviewed Jim Knight and Stacey Richards. We also did, we went up to Williamsport in August and canvassed with Derek Slaughter, who was running for mayor. That was a very interesting race up there. So Derek actually won, first African-American mayor of Williamsport. And that podcast was unlike a lot of ours, where we just record a conversation. You know, it was a lot of field recordings. We went around canvassing with him, and it's interspersed with voiceover audio. But, we wanted to capture what is that like to be canvassing at the door and talking to people.
Right. Well, it's super. It's a super listen if you like politics, and you get to find out about some local leaders around here, folks that are running for office. So I just think it's a super thing.
Thank you.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. I do have some brief news headlines here. Some money is headed to STEM programs in the Line Mountain School District, $10,000 to help them develop an innovation lab. Two teachers, Jared Hawes and Joe Cole, will head the department that will implement the new funding for the young men and women that are studying STEM at Line Mountain. Recent poll by Franklin and Marshall asked registered voters in Pennsylvania about their views on the legalization of recreational marijuana.
58% of registered voters in Pennsylvania support the legalization of recreational marijuana in PA, according to the Franklin and Marshall College poll. But F&M poll director Terry Madonna says support is not as strong if recreational marijuana were to be sold in state stores as one proposal has called for.
40% of the voters are less likely to support legalization if marijuana were to be sold in the state stores. They believe it should remain in the hands of the private sector, not the government.
While Governor Tom Wolf has called on state lawmakers to seriously consider the legalization of recreational marijuana, Madonna says that's not likely anytime soon, given the conservative makeup of the legislature. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
From Western Pennsylvania, school officials have apologized to parents after students received a homework assignment involving President Donald Trump. The reporters there said students were sent home with an assignment from a teacher at the Penn Cambria Middle School in Cambria County and had some parents upset. The assignment asked students to pretend they were refugees being forced to leave their homes as President Trump tried to take control of the United States. The students were tasked with having their parent time them for 10 minutes while they pack a bag under the guise that they will never return home and they have to flee from the president. The objective was to present the items in the backpack and why they chose those items. The district superintendent, William Marshall, says the teacher realized the huge error and has called each parent to individually apologize to them.
Put the person on administrative leave for the stupidity?
No, still there, still teaching, still in the classroom, even as we speak.
Absolutely as absurd. I mean, that's a person who's trying to educate young people.
If they had just made them zombies, they'd be okay. But if you make it the president, that's not too good.
No, it's the undertone of education. I mean, who would think that would be a good idea?
I think it's a good idea to have an assignment where students are asked to imagine that you have to be a refugee leaving, because that's the reality for a lot of people in the world. You know, it seems like it was a poor choice of context, but
that's not the reality for people in the world.
The number of refugees in the world is at an all-time high, but
it's not the United States.
That's not the reality.
I mean, if you want to take people to reality, so what is this? This is middle school. Is this a world civics class?
Would you want students to understand the experience of people over the world or not?
Okay, so you're going to go to the United States and you're going to say there's refugees. Okay, so what similarities at all are you going to say? First of all, they're going to get a backpack made by Land's End, Woolrich, Nike, Under Armour, and they're going to put their iPhone and their stuff in there. So when you're talking about refugees in war-torn areas, they're leaving with barely their clothes on their backs, and they might have one or two sets of clothes at the most. I mean,
I've been an educator for middle school and high school and college students, and I'm just saying, as an educator, if you want people to understand the lived experience of other people, asking them to go through these kinds of exercises could be useful. That's what I'm saying.
Wikipedia says 65.6 million individuals have been forcibly displaced worldwide since 2017. So that's the whole globe. So, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we know.
Would you feel different if it was set in 1930s Poland or Germany and the context was a Jewish family having to run for their lives?
What are they teaching? What's the whole context of?
The value of the backpack.
Yeah, exactly.
The 10 items. So
they're teaching them that that the idea that the political reality that you live in is very stable is not a reality for most people. It is a privilege to be in the United States where, unless it was a natural disaster kind of situation, I think, think most people wouldn't have to face this, but that is a lived reality. And whether you're right that the kinds of things you might put in the backpack are different, but as an educator, you know, I see you're shaking your head. You think I'm sort of woolly-headed, Mr.
No, I'm thinking, how about learning the Bill of Rights? How about learning what's in the Constitution? Well, we don't know. I mean, with this and this teacher, I mean, you know, it's at some point somebody asked, where is this teacher coming from? I mean, Gallitzin is on the way from Hollidaysburg to Evansburg. It's up in the old coal region area. It's right off of 22. And I'm just trying to think, okay, so these parents, yeah, what the Sam Hill are you doing? Let's make sure they can read and write at the proficiencies.
So there can be no other lessons other than reading and writing?
They can, but you're telling me. Now, so why was this a huge error?
I think because you chose the president. I think that was a... Well,
I wish the journalism was a little better, because I agree. I wondered what the error he thought it was, because I think core assignment to ask young people to literally, you know, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, whatever flaws there are with those analogies.
Should have chose, there is a new assignment. Hitler in the U.S. We have to flee. That probably would be better. Something like that. Not that there ever was any
Hitler
in the U.S.
If you want to tie it to U.S. history, there were a lot of loyalists to the British Crown who had to leave their homes.
Yeah, they went to Canada. And they didn't pack up their Nike and their iPhone and their
so our privilege earpods. Our privilege class is what bothers you the most. All right. Finally, the one other item here. A nonpartisan organization. There we go. Has placed a national debt clock in downtown Atlanta, just in time for the Democratic presidential debate coming in the city in 2 weeks. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the New York-based Peter G. Peterson Foundation placed the billboard on Ted Turner Drive between Walton and Marietta Street. It's near the Centennial Olympic Park. The clock displays the nation's nearly 23 million. Now, since the story was written this morning, it's over $23 trillion debt and pegs each American's share of the number at about $68,000. CEO Michael Peterson says that the debt issue affects everyone, not just lawmakers. He says he hopes the billboard sparks conversation on the enormous debt and ways to manage it. The foundation says the clock will remain in the city indefinitely. The Democratic presidential debate there is November 20th. So those are the news headlines. Let's see, what were we talking about? Any more election reaction? Michael Bloomberg's getting in the race. Any reaction there? He's a Democrat.
I'm kind of tired of the slow walk towards a moneyed aristocracy in our country. You know, whoever the rich person is, it personally annoys me to just buy your way into a candidacy, whether you're Tom Steyer or, you know, Michael Bloomberg. Donald Trump was able to get much further because of his own access to his own wealth. So,
Michael Bloomberg reaction? He's running as a Democrat.
Well, it says, I mean, you talked about Steyer and Bloomberg. That means the Democrats, it means the contribution base of the Democratic Party, the people who are giving money, are not happy with anybody who's running for president.
I totally disagree. Look at the numbers of small donors for Warren and Sanders. No, it means that the moneyed interests that are part of the Democratic Party don't like Warren and Sanders.
Exactly what I'm saying. Oh. So that's what they're saying.
I thought you meant people, not dollars.
People can give tens and twenties and $50, but the real money behind the Democrats, the real political money, is saying you don't have a winner in there, folks.
You don't have somebody who's going to represent my interests.
Well, no, you don't have a horse that can win the race. There's no Democrat in there that can win the race, and that's why Steyer jumped in. And here's what Steyer and Bloomberg
do. None of the current Democrats can win?
No, not theoretically they have a chance, but there's nobody that right now, and that's why Steyer and Bloomberg jump into this. And here's what they do is they take their money out of the pool. So the big money candidates, talking to some people in Washington, the big money Democratic donors are very frustrated with what's going on.
1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to join our conversation, I think we're having a fabulous political roundtable. You are invited to join us. Jordy Comas is here, Ben Reichle. They're both actively involved in politics, so we'd love to hear from you. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Ben supposes that none of the Democratic candidates can win. Your view on this?
I'm on the record talking about how just this week I was chastising people for reading this New York Times, it was Times or Washington Post article, and it came out Monday or Tuesday that was a report on some large number of a poll with a large number of respondents, which gives it better validity, of six battleground states. And, you know, this is our supposed liberal media. I don't know. To me, this was a real bias against local elections. It really irked me because, you know, we have a whole cottage industry of pundits and media types and pollsters who froth themselves up over creating new headlines when polls a year out have almost zero predictive ability. So I don't know, you know, if Ben is basing that on analysis or his own read. I just think it's really hard to say with any kind of certainty how these candidates
President
would
Hillary Clinton could tell you polls aren't accurate.
I'm not saying that it's great that there's grassroots support and passion for candidates or for causes. But what's going on in the Democratic Party, we saw the corruption last time when Bernie Sanders should have been the nominee. And it was fixed. I mean, Democrats should be up in arms about that. It was a fixed race, and you ran a flawed candidate, and you lose. So now the monies that are coming in, and you said it, Jordy, yeah, there's nice donations coming in to Buttigieg.
No, Buttigieg doesn't get a lot of small dollar donors. He gets money from the money part.
No, but there's nice money coming into him. There's small donors coming into Warren and Sanders.
But is nice amounts or where
it's
coming
from?
Yeah,
good amounts. He's raising money. He's making the law. But the real Democratic money and influential behind-the-scenes Democrats are not happy with what's going on in this campaign. First of all, it started way too early. I mean, the Democratic National Committee doesn't have a grasp on what's going on because they started this too early. So now what you're going to have is all this money's going all over in small donations. The big money's still sitting on the sidelines to a degree till they know who can beat the president. I mean, the whole part is to beat the president. Biden came out, and Biden's poll numbers look positive, but holy smokes, when he's getting 250 people, 800 people in places where they should be getting thousands, it's hard. He's not getting there's not a lot of energy there. So it's interesting that Bloomberg and Steyer get involved in this, because if there was strong candidates that they felt they could back,
there was another one, Schultz, the Starbucks guy. He came and went.
Well, he was independent, so he was trying
Bloomberg
to
is basically independent too. I mean, Bloomberg's basically independent as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, to a degree.
No, I think a lot of what Ben says analytically is correct. You know, Joe Biden has the best name recognition, and from what I've seen and heard in Iowa, New Hampshire, he doesn't have a really active base. You know, I've said publicly I'm all in for Warren at this point. And that has to go back to the electability thing. I might be pivoting away, but I find this conversation, at least among Democrats and people who lean that way, who's most electable, beating the president, is what they care about.
Nice pivot, incidentally.
Was it? And I think electability is kind of a fool's errand for the average voter. We don't know. The polls have zero predictive ability. I've been in arguments with people who are, you know, on my side, quote unquote, about this. And I think it reflects a sort of deep abiding interest and what's going to happen a year from now. But the best predictor of who will be able to beat Donald Trump is the candidate who does well in the four early states. And after we go through those, we will have a much better sense, because elections change the field. Trump's candidacy changed the field. Obama's candidacy changed the field. Go back to 1992 and Clinton's candidacy. He was kind of an outsider. So I just think that, you know, I'm mad that the, you know, supposedly my allies in the liberal media completely threw all the local elections under the bus by publishing that poll on the Tuesday of the elections. It just sends a message that, you know, what happens locally doesn't matter that much. And I completely agree with Ben that the whole process, I don't think the DNC started it. I don't know the ins and outs, but I think the candidates got a jump, and the DNC's trying to, you know, it's like a Western where you've got 12 horses in the train all going different directions.
There's a point. But they had a problem with 20 people.
I got to take a quick
24 people, whatever. I mean, that, I'm
I
sure.
don't even know how many.
Yeah. Hold on, men. We invite folks to join us. Call us immediately. We got open phones, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the electability of Democrats and the dominance of President Donald Trump when it comes to the national media attention. Of course, that's the perk of executive incumbency. So we can talk about that. What's your view on early polling? Do they tell you anything at all whatsoever? 1-800-795-9565 is the open line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Thank you. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show.
On
the
Steely Dan.
Well, I guess the words were going to start, so we have to keep talking. I'm here clackety-clacking away on my laptop.
Your name's Matt Cottrell.
Looking up stuff. No, we are monitoring. I'm checking out Fred Keller's tweets. His tweets have changed over the years.
I have a topic I'd love to.
Please,
go ahead. Ben thinks. If people don't know, 2 weeks ago, maybe, there was a group of Republican congresspeople who, I think the media language was stormed or went into this thing called the SCIF, which I don't know what
downstairs.
It stands for.
Yeah, but calmly it's a, walked
yeah,
into the
well,
room.
However one wants to frame it. But the point is they wanted to disrupt it because as a sign of protest, I don't think there's any disagreement about that. Fred Keller was one of the two or three dozen lawmakers. Do you have any thoughts on that, Ben, about that, his role in that?
No, good for them. Yeah, good for if Democrats did it too. I don't know. Did anybody dress up?
It worked.
Did somebody dress up like Gandhi? And, you sat there.
No, they all wore gray suits. It's just funny.
I think they ordered some pizza. But one of the things that I thought.
Yeah, that's fine. We want, again, you're down there fighting the battles. What Schiff is doing, I mean, shoot, his credibility is somewhere below whale.
Whose credibility would you rate higher, Trump or Schiff? And by credibility, you mean their truth-tellingness?
Well, Schiff has been compromised so many times, you question his credibility. If you want to talk about the president, what the president's doing is the president has made campaign promises and he's moved those forward. Now, you can argue with his policies. Well, he's addressed immigration. He's addressed taxes. He's addressed the VA. He's put...
Addressed isn't made progress.
Yeah, it does. It does.
What has he done on immigration?
When you start to let the people know, here is the problem with illegal immigration. Here is the problem with immigration. We want to address these problems. Here's how we can adjust these and make these work for America. Then when you see the Congress...
He had a bipartisan deal in front of him that would have addressed a lot of problems with immigration, including helping the Dreamers, the DACA recipients, and he walked away from it because Stephen Miller whispered in his ear.
And then he put it back to them
to allow Trump for talking about issues, not for making progress.
No, he's made progress. He's made progress on trade policies. He's made progress with our allies, particularly in NATO, to say, hello, folks, if you want the insurance of the United States under NATO, you probably need to pay your policies.
I think one of his biggest campaign promises was he was going to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it. So,
and it's being built, and we'll see where the bill gets sent.
And did you personally think Mexico was going to pay for it?
Yeah, and here's where Mexico can pay for it, and it's going to be, part of it is going to be getting rid of NAFTA and renegotiating that. And what we're finding out, unfortunately, recently, is Mexico is a crime-ridden, corrupt state. Whoever is in charge of Mexico is never in charge because the drug cartels run it. And if you've been to the border and you see the cost of illegal immigration to those border states and what it costs American citizens, you're on the borough council of Lewisburg.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now, if you're in the city of McAllen, Texas, look at the cost illegal immigration is having on your constituents who are American citizens. So how do these municipalities on the border absorb that cost?
Most of the municipalities and the legislators, even Republicans on the border, have been pretty unhappy with Trump's approaches. If you look at the media, we'd have to go. But this is one of these things that's hard about this kind of format.
I don't see that at all. I see a positive, and I'll give you an example. San Diego, when they built the wall in San Diego, in California. They built the wall. Where did illegal immigration move to? It moved east to Arizona.
But you're presuming so that the people in San Diego like that. You yourself,
I'm not presuming
that.
I've been there. You've seen it. You've seen the positives that's happened when the illegal immigration had to move east. Then all of a sudden you start to see.
What did you tell me about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce off air?
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is a running joke when it comes to immigration.
Because?
Well,
they want cheap labor.
They want cheap labor. So here's two things about it. You've got groups who want potentially future voters, and you got groups who want cheap labor.
So
and
as
both
a,
of those should be called out for what they are.
So we have a country that has an economy and business interests that are addicted to cheap labor, and then we blame people who are coming here looking for that work for responding to the economic pressures that we have put in place. That's my analysis
of
the immigration situation.
No, there's a way to do immigration, and there's a way to do workers' visas properly. There's a way to go about that. Groups don't want that. But here's the other part is, the immigration part, the cartels put the immigration into a forefront because it creates a smokescreen for them to do then their business, illegal drugs.
Let's come back to the credibility thing, because I asked you about credibility for Trump, and I assume, tell me if I'm right, I assume that means that you can, that the person has legitimacy about what they say. That you believe what they say is truthful. Is that what credibility means?
The president,
is that what credibility
the
means?
President is moving to
no, see, you're
the
dodging.
Agenda. I'm not dodging.
Schiff has more credibility than Trump, and you don't want to
no,
say that
doesn't.
Trump has
not
more credibility.
All. Not at all.
So you think that Schiff has less credibility than Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who stands at a rally and says, the CNN turned off the camera light when there was no light ever on, who said that his crowd was bigger than any other light,
Schiff
crowd.
Congressman Schiff is a running joke among his peers. He's always been. So Schiff lied through his teeth about Russia. He's in the same boat.
You are
now.
Not answering my question. Who has more credibility, Trump or Schiff?
To me, the president does.
Now,
do you want to question the president on his policies? Go ahead. Do you want to question on his tweets? Go ahead. Adam Schiff is a flat-out lying
not
guy.
Schiff.
It's Schiff.
Yes.
Okay. He is flat-out liar. And
tell me the lie.
Look Adam Schiff up, and you'll find out what he's been about and what he's done.
The Russian pro
has taken his credibility to zero. Now, you can say, well, the president's a zero. In your opinion, he might be. However, look what Donald Trump has done on trade policies. Look what he's done to address the immigration issue. Look what he's done for the VA. Look what he's done for even something as small as allowing people to look at drugs and fighting Big Pharma, but to say, hold it, this drug's not 100% yet, but because you're that ill, we're going to pass policies that you can try these drugs.
I would have hoped that somebody who had the reputation for business negotiations like him could have come in and gotten Medicare to actually negotiate for lower drug prices, and that's something that I think he ran on and he hasn't made any progress
on. I think that's been addressed with the Canadian.
You keep saying addressed. That's a really low measure. I'm just going to say we should be able to agree that addressed is a low measure of progress for a politician.
It
should be bills passed.
Bills passed would be a better measure. Means the Democrats in the House need to do something, too. The Republicans in the Senate need to do something also. So when you start addressing it, you create awareness to the public. When the public then gets a hold of it, which they had on immigration, the public's understanding more about illegal immigration and our lack of proper immigration now more than they've ever had. They're understanding that NATO, how NATO works or hasn't worked for the United States. They're also understanding, and I'll go back to it, there is a deep state of bureaucracy piling on any president, let alone being the
Republican
president.
I think that this deep state you're talking about are honest civil servants who saw a potentially illegal act and acted on it, if that's what you mean about the Ukraine
calls. You think Strzok and McCain were honest FBI agents? Comey?
I don't remember in our country, in my lifetime, when we had government officials, left or right, do so much to throw their own law enforcement, national security, and military agencies under the bus. The FBI has been questioned as being not faithful to the president. I mean, I basically see that, you know, people, I think, with the impeachment thing, keep wondering if we have a president who has abused his office to build more power for himself and more wealth. And I think he's always been doing that, and the assumption that he wouldn't is the mistake. From day one, he has ruled as a president who's intent on maximizing his power at all costs. That's why he has Rudy Giuliani going around, and now Bill Barr basically doing his own foreign policy outside of our own normal national security apparatus.
So when you look at the FBI and you look at the people who have been fired from the FBI, when you look at Comey, when you look at McCabe, when you look at Strzok, when you look at what was the female that was with Strzok, then you look at what Brennan and Clapper have done, and you're telling me that these are patriots who are battling against the
evil
Donald Trump?
I'm talking about Alex Vindman and William Taylor. I'm talking about the Ukraine deal.
Yeah, let's talk about Ukraine. Alex Vindman wasn't even. His information now is going to be retracted. You'll see what happens. But let's talk about Ukraine. Let's talk about 2016. When the Clinton administration was in Ukraine trying to get information on Donald Trump, or when Murphy, Menendez, I'm trying to think who...
Did you just say the Clinton administration?
The Clinton campaign.
Oh.
The Clinton campaign was there to get information on Trump. Then let's look at the letter that Murphy, Senator Murphy from Connecticut, Menendez out of Jersey, sent to the Ukrainian government saying that you need to cooperate with the Mueller investigation. But also, too, what about in January when the Ukrainians...
Let's talk about a phone call between Donald Trump to the president of Ukraine that says,
we have it.
I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to... which we all know, do you disagree that what Trump was asking for was that he wanted the Ukraine to help him look into these 2016 allegations?
Look into the corruption.
That's what Trump wanted.
To look into the corruption.
So 20,000 feet, because I don't know as much about the details of all these letters as you do. At 20,000 feet, here's what we've got, just so we can agree on the facts. President Trump is talking to a foreign leader, and he says, I want you to look into the Bidens for me, and then you'll get military aid.
Biden's name, no, not at all. And that will then come out.
So what was the favor he was asking for?
The corruption. So we're going to give you money. Now, do you know how the Ukrainian...
Do you know why you're doing it? It just fell from you? Think that Trump cares deeply about corruption.
Do you know how Zelensky was elected?
Yes.
You know why he was elected?
Oh, why or how?
Yeah, why and how he was elected in Ukraine.
I think he was elected because he was running against the corruption of the Ukrainian state.
It's the corruption. So now the... I'm trying to think, was it Clinton? Yeah.
What I'm trying to figure out is...
What we're trying to figure out is Trump is asking the Ukrainians... Now, you can say he was asking for favors against Biden, but he's saying, okay, if we're going to give you this money... What are you doing to fight the corruption that you got elected to fight?
Which specific case of corruption did you care about?
We're going to take a deep breath here, as you just did. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. I got to take a quickie break to stay on schedule. I want to remind everybody our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots and lots and lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to do as I've done. Go to the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Get yourself pumped up with nitrogen. Your tires will last longer, run cooler, and have less temperature change between seasons. You can go to the alignment shop, the body shop, the car wash shop, the truck shop, or any shop you wish to that would help you take good care of your car or buy a new one. Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln are the brands that they fly down there, and they would just love to talk to you about that. There just is no vehicle they can't fix. There just is no vehicle they won't wash, and no wheels they won't align. They just want you to be well taken care of, and the Sunbury Motor Company is the go-to place for that. It's a whole complex on North 4th Street in Sunbury, plus the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15. We invite you to join our conversation. We have touched an immigration hot button, so we're going to read an email about that. The president has done a lot about immigration. Let's find out from our guests what that was when we return, and we'll continue our discussion. I'm glad to say Jordy Comas is here. He is a really well-informed community activist locally, and Ben Reichle is a fabulously informed local conservative, so we're having a great discussion. We would invite you to join the discussion. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got a lot of open lines here. 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the impeachment. The president has broken the law. Is it impeachable? So that's...
You don't have to break the law to be impeached.
Oh, you don't know? No. High crimes, no misdemeanors?
High crime and misdemeanor is a phrase that means abusing the power of office. The whole point is that it's a political process because we put so much power in the hands of the executive.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, I assume that Ben agrees with me. That's the standard reading.
No, and we are seeing how political it is.
Oh, it's so political. There's no argument there. On the topic of immigration, one of our listeners sends a note. Says, historically, for 30, 40, 50 years in the United States, we've taught our people to have smaller families because of world overpopulation. Typical family now in the U.S. has less than two children, which is not a sustainable population. But we turn around and open the doors to immigration from countries where the typical woman is having 5 to 7 children. Just doesn't seem fair, does it? I'm not sure who it is unfair to, but thank you for that. Appreciate the email. Chris, you're on the mark. Our good panel of political individuals or politically informed individuals can hear you.
Yes. To the previous president in Ukraine, Trump got the investigation in the Manafort activities squashed and let people who were of interest to the Mueller investigation leave the country. And the president said he did this because he wanted the Javelin missiles and he didn't want to be doing things that irritated Trump. So he wasn't interested in corruption because that's the guy, the guy who was doing investigating corruption was investigating the names of people who took money out of Ukraine when Russia, basically Russians were in control of it, which included Manafort. So he wasn't interested in corruption. He was interested in protecting his ass. He was also interested in protecting his ass the second time. He was only interested not in whether there was a real investigation, but that the guy go to a microphone, announce investigation, Clinton, Biden. That's what he wanted him to do, specifically, to announce an investigation. That was it. So he could then use it in his campaign spiel. So there was no interest in Ukrainian corruption.
In your opinion,
by the even his own ambassador that he appointed
to the EU. You're talking about the ambassador to the EU.
Yes, and also the people who overheard what Rudy was telling people, who was there as personal lawyer to Trump. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we'll see that come out in the hearings that we're going to see, the public hearings, but you also have to take Zelensky's word that he said there was no pressure. And also, too, let's look at the difference.
Except for two things on that. First of all, there obviously was pressure because they had actually, Zelensky was against it, and the rest of his people were for it to have that announcement made, and they, before the aid started flowing, they had decided to do that announcement in 2 days, even though he was really against it because it was what the corruption in Ukraine, type of corruption in Ukraine that they were trying to prevent. Okay. Political interests using government money.
Zelensky's come out and said there was no pressure. We'll see how this plays out in the public hearings with Bill Taylor.
Yes, he was trying to keep Trump happy at the time.
Okay, and we'll see what comes out with the ambassador. Now, where Rudy Giuliani comes in play, we'll see what he capitulated with the Ukrainian.
Pretty much the testimony's there.
Well, we'll see.
It's been released.
We'll see the public side of it. Ukraine was a corrupt area. Now, what's very interesting, though, is when the Trump administration gets in, compared to the last administration, which sent very little aid in a lot of ways to Ukraine, the Trump administration did give them missiles and military products to fight Russia. So,
can we talk about that? Do you think that Russia's our ally?
No, Russia's nobody's ally.
All right, Chris, go ahead and wrap up, and we'll get on with our discussion.
Well, about the Russia thing, it's very interesting that mostly Trump does things that make Russia very happy.
Like send
the only thing he's really done to make Russia really upset is this Javelin missiles thing in
Poland,
in the Ukraine, and he ended up. It's now pretty apparent that what he did was in the first one he got curtailed the Mueller investigation through the first set, and through the second set of missiles he was trying to get talking point for his campaign.
All right, Chris, go ahead and wrap up now, just to give you another 10 seconds.
The deep state, the two FBI agents you mentioned, they made snarky comments about political candidates, Trump and Clinton both on their government email to each other while they were having an affair.
I think there's far more to it, and you'll see the IG report.
That is the only thing they did that was improper. There was nothing ever in their investigation that anybody found that they ever acted improperly.
All right, we got you, Chris. Thank you so much.
They were on Mueller's team, and they shouldn't have been on it. There's far more to that story with the FBI.
All right.
And McCabe is not there. He was fired. So the FBI is part of the bureaucracy that makes up the deep state.
Emailer says, Hillary Clinton, Donna Brazile, Debbie Wasserman threw you and your party under the bus, Jordy. Trump defied the GOP establishment and shut them down. I would think that it would be enough for you to admire him. After all, your basic shtick is to put your finger in the eye of the man.
Can I respond?
Yes, please. I'll put it back up so you can see it.
Are we allowed to say the name of the person who he sent the email?
No, we do not.
Oh, okay.
He didn't sign it.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Well, to that person, I mean, I would say that in general, I agree that, I mean, he's correct that I'm interested, I would use different language, but I'm concerned about the basic political and economic inequality in our country, and I think that we have too much rule by elites. I think that Donald Trump ran on some issues that I thought sounded good, but I don't trust anyone who is such a con man. And someone who doesn't pay his own contractors, this is documented numerous times, who doesn't follow through on his promises to pay out to charities that he said he would, is basically, you know, what he's very good at is being a con man.
All right.
And he conned the American people.
One of our listeners sends a text, says, so a president doesn't have to commit a crime to be impeached. Did I hear that guess correctly? So
that is correct. The phrase is high crimes and misdemeanors. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so because the leftist Democrats are unhappy because Trump won in 2016, they can get away with the coup through impeachment. Always remember, turnabout is fair play when politics are played this way. So you don't need to commit a crime to be impeached?
Well, I mean, The Constitution, you know, I was researching a little bit on this, and, you know, our own Ben Franklin apparently made the quip that if we don't have impeachment, we'll get rid of presidents the way the Europeans do, which he meant assassination. So I think it's important that I think it's that we important that we all understand both the language and the thinking at that time, and the Federalist Papers is generally considered a good place to go to get to the thinking. The founders wanted to make Congress the primary, the most powerful part of the government because they had just been through experience with tyrannical monarchy. And so they put the power of impeachment in the hands of Congress, and they wanted to make it, in response to the question about purely being a political thing, they wanted to add more language to say why would Congress be enabled to impeach? And it was about treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, when people shorthand it, they just say high crimes and misdemeanors, but it was all of those things. And in general, it was meant to cover abuses of power that were not covered by current laws. And so it is fundamentally a process of Congress saying the behavior of this person in office violates the fundamental spirit of the oath of the office.
Even though it may not truly be convictable extortion, which is what this was.
If you get convicted of impeachment, which no president has, you don't go to jail or anything. You lose your job. It's a complicated firing process.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will enjoy more commentary from our fabulous guests, but we'd love to get you back in the mix. We'll take more comers, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Bob, we have a few moments left. You may get your 2 cents in. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Regarding President Trump, he's never paid Washington back either for the 4th of July big bang he needed to have. And the Ukraine thing, if that whistleblower hadn't have come out, that would have been on CNN News. The president of Ukraine had scheduled the interview 2 days before he came out, and that's why that never came to light. But also, Trump was ordered by New York State yesterday to pay back $2 million his family used of campaign money. So it just goes to show you how lawless he is.
No, but hold on, Bob, what they said in the campaign, they had a campaign for veterans, and they said the money, it should not have been done by campaign. It should have been done by the foundation, and the improper part was more paperwork than anyway. So I think you're stretching that to the point where the rubber band
broke. Well, why would he buy pictures of himself and pay thousands of dollars for a picture of himself with campaign money?
All right. Good questions, Bob. Thank you very much.
It's part of the campaign.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Thank you. You too. Mm. Jordy, we'll start with you. An additional remark today. We've got about 3 minutes left. So you get 90 seconds. Open mic, uninterrupted.
I mean,
I'm not going to stop you.
I think Ben's probably been on a lot. I think this is my fifth or sixth time. So, you know, I think I want to compliment your command of a lot of small detail facts about Ukraine and other things. It's not stuff I have in my back pocket. I tend to focus on the big picture. And the big picture for me, I already said it, you know, two things. One, I think that President Trump fundamentally is a person who sees everything he's done in his life is about enriching himself personally at the cost of everyone he comes into contact with. And, you know, that's true with how he dealt with the Stormy Daniels and the other women he had affairs with. It's how he dealt with his casino business when it went bankrupt. There's a long list of contractors from his casino days and more recently that he never pays back. It reflects how in Scotland, the way that they've manipulated the military's requisitioning to stop planes at.
So that's some kind of a moral failing.
Yeah, it's basically a moral failing.
Right,
and
what
he's very, very effective at is being a con man. And in America, we kind of like con men. We have a history of liking con men. And I think this may be his presidency. Maybe when you know, con men work as long as they have a new target, and it may catch up to him. The other thing is, you know, I'm disappointed in Fred Keller, especially the stunt with going into the congressional room. He is on one of those committees, so this idea that this is a process that's in any way illegitimate or potentially illegal is not at all accurate. And if he thinks that the president's actions can be defended, he should do that. And the fundamental action that President Trump, and just in the Ukraine thing, is that he asked a foreign leader to research his political opponent. And it doesn't matter what Ukraine thought was going to happen, and it doesn't matter what Zelensky did. That is the fundamental question. I didn't hear Ben respond to that. If you think it's okay for a president to use their office for political gain, then defend that.
Ben?
And all the process stuff is immaterial.
And that's all I have. And, Jordy, unfortunately, the superficial part of contractors and that, if you've ever done work and you know the details of it, I'd look into that a little bit more. If that's the best you got against this president, it's not going to work for the next election. So here's the scenario. You have a person who've gone in. You can morally dislike him or not. What he's done is he's peeled back the process. And I said this, I think, last couple shows. People of your ilk back in the 60s were protesting against
the man. You have an ilk now.
Meaning that the social presence of protesting against the war, which is fine. But social activists like yourself would be devastated in today's world to see what the FBI, CIA, and National Security has done to a sitting president. And that's what you folks used to fight against, the man. Now you guys have become the man, and now you're trying to take an election won by a person. You could dislike him policy-wise. But what that is wrong with the bureaucrats and the deep state is doing in Washington.
Thank you so much, men. Appreciate it. Political activists and highly informed. This is WKOK Sunbury.